Hello, everyone. Welcome to Cave of the Cross Apologetics. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Tony.
And we have the great privilege of talking with another author who decides to humble himself and come talk with two lowly people who haven't written a book in their life, but have read it instead. And we welcome to the show Dr. James Anderson. And just kind of give you a little bit of his pedigree here is that Dr. Anderson hails from Edinburgh, Scotland, and has completed an MA in philosophy and apologetics. Earned a PhD in computer simulation and PhD in philosophical theology. His research has explored the paradoxical nature of certain Christian doctrine and the implication for the rationality of the Christian faith. The presuppositionalism of Cornelius Van Til and the advocacy of the transcendental argument, or TAG, as it's lovingly called. He is an ordained minister in the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church, a professor of theology and philosophy at Reformed Theological Seminary, Charlotte. He is married and with three kids. Is also the author of the book we recently went through, Why Should I Believe Christianity, which is part of a 10-part Christian apologetic series that addresses 10 commonly asked questions about God, the Bible, and Christianity. You can find many of his papers and musings at his website, Analytical Thoughts, at prognosko.com, which is Greek for foreknowledge. And so we welcome Dr. Anderson to the show. Thank you for coming on and talking to us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Big fan. I've seen a lot of your interviews. I've read a lot of your works. Have taken a lot of your bigger head works and tried to work through it and gone back and highlighted, gone back again and highlighted again. So I appreciate the brain exercises for someone lowly like me who's trying to understand logic and transcendental arguments and Van Til. Thank you for your work.
Well, I'm glad it's been helpful.
So I, in reading your qualifications there, I have to ask, what do you do for fun?
What do I do for fun?
Yeah.
I enjoy exercise more than I actually used to. I've sort of grown into enjoying exercise over the years. I enjoy hiking with my family. I enjoy watching movies with my kids and then giving them lectures afterwards on the worldview behind the movie until they cry uncle. And those are a few of the things that I enjoy doing. I do a little bit of computer coding on the side just to keep my hand in.
Just to make sure that your doctorate there is getting its money worth.
That's right. Yeah. I didn't want that PhD to go completely to waste.
Well, with a number of our authors who we've read on the show, we've seen them have previous backgrounds in something completely different than philosophy and apologetics. We had like Dr. Mitch Stokes or Dr. Jason Lyle. We had Pastor Tiberius Rada, to just name a few. What was the catalyst from going from kind of that computer simulation to Christian philosopher? And did any ideas kind of carry through from your previous work to today's work?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, so I started my university career in basically in engineering, electronic and electrical engineering. That was my bachelor's degree, but found I wasn't a hardware guy. You know, I was still picking up the wrong end of the soldering iron after 4 years. So I sort of went software and got a job in a research department exploring virtual reality technologies and other sort of what was called then interface research. And it was a lot of software coding, but it was around about that time I got very interested in Christian apologetics because I was working at a secular university with some very, very smart people who were also unbelievers. And they would ask me questions about my Christian faith, and some of them I could answer, some of them I couldn't. So I would go off and do my research and try and come back with answers and just generally started taking those sort of intellectual foundational aspects of my faith far more seriously and got bitten by the apologetics bug. Probably you guys can relate to this as well. Once you start reading, you start devouring more and more material. That sort of brought me into, well, it didn't directly bring me into Reformed theology, but I was doing a lot of reading in theology at the same time, and that sort of got me into Reformed theology. And then I discovered presuppositional apologetics and Van Til. And I was doing so much reading and studying off my own back at that point that I thought maybe I should do a degree to try and, you know, get some sort of qualification out of it. Maybe the Lord could use that in the church in some way. And but eventually I sensed a calling to teach in that field and realized that I would need to get a PhD in a relevant area. PhD in computer simulation wasn't going to really help me in teaching Christian philosophy and apologetics, at least not directly. And so I did a PhD in philosophical theology at the University of Edinburgh, and then in the Lord's Providence ended up teaching philosophy and apologetics at Reformed Theological Seminary, where I am now. And when I tell people that I used to be in computing and engineering and now I'm in philosophy, apologetics, and theology, they think that that's a big leap. And in some respects, of course, it is. But I'm wired to be an analytical thinker. I'm very, very left-brained, I think is what they call it now, where, you know, you want everything to be systematic and logically ordered and so forth. And, of course, that was important in computing. If you don't have a logical mind, then the sort of computer code you're going to write is not going to work very well. It's all about logical operators and conditional statements and so forth. And so in a sense, I was keeping my natural skill set, such as it was, but applying it to a different topic, namely thinking about God, thinking about the Bible, thinking about the Christian faith. So that's why I sort of landed in philosophical theology, because I have a philosophical mind, I think, but my real interest is in theology. I'm interested in philosophy insofar as it can serve as a handmaiden to theology and to apologetics, which I see as a subdiscipline of theology.
Very, very Van Til and Bonson of you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice. So it sounds like
it's just Augustinian. I think it's just Augustinian. Yeah. Actually, no, it's Pauline, I should say.
Yeah, we could all trace our shoots back there. Yes.
Yeah.
Sounds like you were already a believer when you started in the university, and so already being a believer and then being challenged on your faith, it sounds like is what kind of made you take the leap here.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I was raised in a Christian home. I don't remember a time when I didn't believe the central tenets of the Christian faith, although I may have entertained doubts and had a lot of questions, as a lot of people do. But it really wasn't until my teenage years that I started taking my faith seriously, in the sense of, if this is really true, I need to be all in. There needs to be a personal commitment here. And there was a particular time in my teenage years where the sort of existential personal dimensions of the Christian faith were really presented to me in a forceful manner. And so when I went to university, there was a period of, I think, stagnation, both spiritual and intellectual stagnation. And again, this is not an uncommon experience. But through a number of God-ordained factors, what we might call means of grace, I was brought back into the life of the church and fellowship with God's people and sitting under the preaching of God's word. And I would argue I've never really looked back ever since. So apologetics for me wasn't the instrument by which I came to faith. I think that's actually more the exception than the rule for people who say it was through Christian apologetics that I was converted, although I know plenty of people for whom that's true. But in my case, it was a sort of byproduct of taking seriously the Christian life of the mind and trying to integrate my intellectual instincts and philosophical aptitudes with what I took to be the sober truth about reality, about God, about the world, and about my place in it all.
Arthur Herman has a book called How the Scots Invented the Modern World. And in there, he kind of presents the historical overview that Scotland was the first modern literary society in Europe, first lending library in Europe as well. There are so many Scots that kind of come out of the country and are well known. I'm not asking you to apologize for David Hume. But what made you come off the aisles and join us here in America?
Well, the first thing I have to say is that I'm not actually a Scotsman. You know, the no true Scotsman fallacy. Well, that I'm the embodiment of it, because a lot of people assume because I moved from Scotland that I am Scottish. I'm actually English by birth. My parents are English, and I lived the first part of my life in England, but then moved to Scotland as a youth and spent 23 years there, met my wife, had my first two children there. So in many respects, I feel Scottish, at least Scottish by marriage and by osmosis, maybe.
Like a true Englishman.
I mean, I describe myself as British because that's really how I see myself, although I'm now an American citizen, so I guess I'm a British American, if there is such a hyphenization of it. But we moved here, we believe, because we were following the Lord's call for me to serve in a teaching capacity. When I completed my PhD in philosophical theology, I was looking for a position where I might be able to teach. I wanted, ideally, to teach at a Reformed institution where I could teach freely according to Reformed convictions and would be held accountable for holding to that confessional Reformed position, but also a place that was serving the church and saw the importance of apologetics as part of a well-rounded seminary curriculum. RTS was that place, I'm very, very... very glad. I mean, we've never looked back. The transition wasn't easy. Relocating your family from one side of the Atlantic to another is not something I would ever want to go through a second time. But the Lord was good, and we feel very blessed to be here.
Yeah. It's all the books that you have to pack up. That's the problem.
Oh, the books.
Well, I appreciate RTS, and they have apps, and check out their websites, which we'll include links below for just amazing content. And I made a homage to Michael J. Kruger, because I mentioned his name and his book so many times when we were going through Andreas Kostenberger's book before yours. I've come to appreciate RTS a lot.
Yeah, great book.